Welcome, everyone. This is Nathalie de Rémieux here from New Software Marketing. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Stephanie Nikolic, and she's also known as the Millionista Mentor. And she's a dark crushing, confidence creating, cash catapulting sales funnel strategist that teaches online entrepreneurs how to shift their money mindset, capitalize on their greatest strengths, and create solid sales funnel strategies for long-term sustainable success. Stephanie's a noble, to-the-point approach drives women straight to the success they desire. Never want to blend in, Stephanie was first made head stern as a sales strategist in a corporate America, building a $1.2 million wholesale business in just 1 year's time. Stephanie's fun, outspoken style has garnered nationwide acclaim, appearing on various live television shows such as Good Day Austin, Twin Cities Live, along with other media outlets like Huffington Post, Empowering Women Radio, The Brave Entrepreneur, Mentoring Women's Network, and she was a finalist on the Dream Big America. She's brought her voice to the stage most recently at the Success Without Sacrifice, Icon 17, and the Women's Success Summit in Miami, Florida. Stephanie is also a mamapreneur, coffee-obsessed fashion aficionado who splits her time between New York and Miami, and she can always be found in a private Facebook group of over 21,000 people called the Success Society. So welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks so much for accepting my invitation. I was really excited when I got the email from your assistant, and I just look forward to learning more, even more from you, because I've been reading your blog posts and a whole bunch of things. And I'm excited to hear your side of the story, because you've got the coaching, but you've got the technical, you know, strategy, funnels and stuff like that. And that's, you know, kind of what we do. So I'm excited for this conversation.
Awesome. Well, I'm ready to dive in when you are.
Okay, I am all ready. So first question, and this is going to be, you know, pretty broad, but basically is if you can share with us how you become an entrepreneur, how you got to where you are today, and then we can go into what you do right now and how you help people.
How I became an entrepreneur was probably... what's the word that I want to use? Completely unscripted. Like, it wasn't planned at all whatsoever. It wasn't that I had this burning desire to become an entrepreneur, but I reached a level in my corporate career, and I had built this $1.2 million business. I had exceeded my sales goals by 5 times that year, more than 5 times, actually. And when I went up for my annual review in my corporate position, I expected that it was going to be great, that they were going to be so thrilled that I had exceeded my sales goals by more than 5 times. But actually what happened was my income was cut by 2/3. My biggest account was pulled from me because my managers asked me why they were paying me so much. And so I had worked so hard to get to that point in corporate America, had been in several different roles in that organization and other organizations for between 9 and 10 years. And I got to that point and I was just like, oh my gosh, I felt paralyzed in that moment. I'll never forget it. And so I went home from work that day. I talked to my family. I talked to my boyfriend at the time. I talked to my friends. And I just said, I can't continue to exhibit this level of passion for a business that I don't feel is fully supporting me. Like, I had been traveling on the road for 5 weeks at a time, like on trade show circuits. So I felt that I was putting so much into a position that wasn't giving back what I needed at that time. So I put in my resignation letter and I was like, what am I gonna do? Because I hadn't figured that point out yet. And so I did some consulting work in this space, but that wasn't really what I felt that I wanted to do. It wasn't really gratifying for me. So I just decided, you know what? I'm like 28 at the time. And I was like, I'm going to start my own business. Like, let me just figure out what this is going to be, what this is all about. I'm pretty young and there's no better time to do this than now. So I started a fashion jewelry and accessory company. I did that for about 2 years. I lost a lot of money in my business. I learned a lot of lessons by making mistakes. And that was actually very fundamental to giving me a bigger picture and a bigger vision and a bigger purpose. I wanted to create community for women online. That was my main desire, because I felt very alone as an online entrepreneur in my previous business. I felt like I was struggling in silence. I felt that what successful people did was they showed up and they almost played the part. Like, that's what I thought at the time. I thought that everybody had it together, but here I was struggling in silence, but I had this big polished up brand and polished up business, and you just act that everything's okay when things are not. And that is not true. And so I hired a mentor, and that's when my life and my business really started to shift and change. And through that experience, I felt compelled to create my bigger vision and the bigger impact. And that was to help other entrepreneurs have a safe place to thrive. And what I mean is by becoming rich in all areas of your life and business, mentally, physically, emotionally, energetically, spiritually, and providing women with a platform to grow together so that you could focus on what you're good at, I could focus on what I'm good at, and we could all grow together. And that's where it started, and then it since has obviously evolved massively, crazy, and now we've served entrepreneurs in over 22 countries. We've served well over 4,500 entrepreneurs in the last 2+ years. We're about to celebrate 3 years in business with Success Society. And you know, the work that I do now is predominantly based on helping entrepreneurs monetize their skills and their strengths by digitalizing them with automated marketing strategies. So, you know, my role in this industry has evolved significantly, but it started off just with this little fire in my belly desire to do something bigger. So
I love the story. Yeah, I love the story. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs actually were not born entrepreneurs. I mean, we did not all, you know, started, you know, selling lemonade, you know, in the front of our house, right? We didn't all start like that. And I like that for you. It was actually a pain, the realization that all this hard work was for somebody else's success and not yours. And it was not fulfilling you. Plus the frustration of the money part, right? So I love that. And one thing that I know, that I really like that you said, was how your failure helped you grow, which is something that is so hard from a mindset point of view from people, you know, this fear of failure that people have. And I think that that community part that you're talking about, surrounded by people, this is what's going to help you go over that bump of the fail, right?
100%. And I feel so deeply ingrained in that same belief system too. You know, as the online world continues to grow and evolve, I realize that sticking with your people and standing up for what you believe in becomes more and more crucial in your success, you know? So there's a lot of things that happen in the online world that I don't necessarily agree with. And you don't have to agree with the things that are happening. You don't have to partake in it. And you have to build your own way. You have to forge the path. You have to be the pioneer as a leader in your business. You get to decide. You have so many choices on a regular basis. And I think that's actually the beauty of becoming your own business owner, right? It's like you get to decide what you believe in and what you want to contribute to. And community for me is a very big piece of the equation.
Absolutely. I think that, I mean, some people, you've seen some people with some level of success on their own, but I think most people need that sense of community and belonging and feeling that they are not alone, because I mean, we are already pretty alone physically, right? If we can't have people to bounce off ideas and where we can feel that we can be vulnerable and share our frustrations, because we have, like you said, it's not all unicorns and cupcakes, right? That there are a lot of stuff going on, whether you're making money or not, right? So I would love to. So one thing I've read is that you are helping entrepreneurs make their passion their paycheck. Okay, I love that sentence. I love that.
Yeah.
And can you share with us, you know, through, you know, marketing automation and your funnels and things like that, can you share how you help someone coming to you with a business? Maybe it's they do one-on-one coaching. Maybe it's a brick and mortar. I don't know exactly your target, but how do you help them go transition to that stage? Because that's where you can really scale, right?
Oh, totally. And that's my favorite part. So predominantly we work with service-based entrepreneurs. So it's anybody that's serving, it's providing an exchange for something in dollars, right? So lawyers, doctors, acupuncturists, therapists, best-selling authors, mindset experts, coaches, consultants, mentors, agency owners, anybody that provides a service and they get paid for it. Because what happens is they're limiting their growth. And if I'm located in Miami, right? And so there was a hurricane, a natural disaster that came through Miami several weeks ago, and I had to leave my home for 10 days. And many people were really affected by it. So why that's related to the work that I do is because our business actually grew by more than 20% in revenue received being away from my business. And the reason why I say that is because that's what we help other entrepreneurs create. We have systems in place that generate new leads and revenue every single day in our business that are completely automated. So we help entrepreneurs at all different levels really take what they do and figure out how to make a bigger impact and a bigger influence and more income in the world so that they're not limited to just delivering their skill and getting paid, Now, because it's on a, on an online platform built through sales funnels, it's limitless. If you put more leads in, you have more potential to make money. Every single day, every single hour, it's not unlikely that as I sit here during this interview, we'll get new clients. And so I feel so strong about this message because with the hurricane, it made me realize that there are so many people that are so well educated, that are so amazing at their craft, but with something that's a natural disaster, or let's say your child gets sick for the day, or you have to tend to your family, or you have to get pulled away from your business, I want to help entrepreneurs create real freedom. Because real freedom, a piece to that freedom, is having the ability to walk away from your business and know that you're not going to stop earning or growing as a result. And so that's what we help them build out through automated marketing systems and sales funnels. And it takes clients on a journey without you having to be the one that's taking them on the journey, right?
Absolutely. I love this. And actually, you know, I build membership sites and online courses, you know, for people. So having people transitioning from doing one-on-one work to trying to teach online where they can impact more people, like you said, and work on their own terms, basically, right? They are not tied to their calendar, right? They can actually scale this because, I mean, when you're teaching online and when you're providing, you know, these online services that are semi-automated, then you can, the number of clients, the number of people that you can help is actually exponential. And that's where you can really grow this business, right?
Yeah, so, you know, this for me stemmed out of, I don't know how familiar you are with the story, but in July of 2015, I was sitting in my kitchen at my kitchen table, which was my workspace at the time. I was sitting there and I took out my phone. I looked at my calendar for the day and it was back to back to back to back to back to back to back. And I had this feeling of like, oh my God, like I was not feeling passionate about my business. I was feeling paralyzed by my business. And I was feeling paralyzed by my previous business because I wasn't making any money. This time I was making a lot of money, but I still felt paralyzed by my business. And for me, it was a reality check. I was also pregnant with my daughter at the time. And I'm a single mom. I'm not married to her dad. So mom had a lot of responsibility in the equation, right? And so I was projecting, I'm 4 months pregnant, baby is going to come, you know, in 40 weeks. At 40 weeks, baby's going to come, whether I'm prepared for this or not, baby's coming. And I have to figure out how I'm going to make my business work for me in respect the role of me becoming a mother as well. And so I immediately decided to retire myself from private mentoring after July. I had my best month in 2015 in July. I took in like $78,883, I think it was, of sales, not revenue. But what felt very paralyzing is the fact that I then had to deliver all the things that I sold.
Yes.
Now it's not abnormal to have a month in business that's not abnormal at all. But I never feel paralyzed by my business because I have set up a system and framework that no matter how much we grow, I know what my role is. And my role is defined, like I got to define that, right? I got to redefine that, so to speak. So we serve clients in a series of other ways that's not time robbing, basically, right? We have other things in place that allow us to support our clients where they still get a phenomenal level of support, actually even more so when they work with me than when they work with me one-on-one. They are more supported today than they have ever been, but it looks differently, you know?
Yeah.
And so we've continued to be able to grow, to scale our business, but it feels great. So it feels good to them. It feels good to us. It feels good to our team. And that, I think, makes all the difference in the world, you know? And so I feel like people get very addicted to one-to-one work because it's probably a higher payout in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a large amount of revenue. It's also a trap in the same way, right? Because if you only can deliver your service to get paid, you're significantly impacting your income, expansion, influence, all of these things. Plus, I feel that time is the most valuable resource you can ever have. And from a mother's perspective, I can't go back and repeat 1 year old with my daughter. I will never have the opportunity to do that again. And so my idea of time is completely different than it has ever been before. So I think that was my wake-up call, right? But there's a lot of entrepreneurs that they get into that model where it's a little bit of a cycle that they get stuck in, and then they're finally at a point where what happens is they get so resentful of their business that they're like, something needs to change. Like when the pain is great enough, they have to make a shift. And so that's where we support them in that shift.
Yeah, I think this is like a really typical common, you know, path that every coach probably goes through. It's like they do one-on-one, they really enjoy it because they get to help people. They get tons of feedbacks as well as to how they can help people, you know, what people need. The money is coming in, but at some point you might realize, well, I'm starting to really not enjoy this anymore because it's all tied to my calendar, like you said, and it sounds like I created a job for myself. Like if I don't show up, then I don't get the money, right?
A very demanding job.
It's not a 9-to-5 for sure. Like, yeah, it's like a 24/7 where you constantly have to worry about, I need to fill up this calendar and I can't increase my prices forever because, you know, just because I want to make more money or because I want to work less. And I love that, you know, this is how when we start about scaling our business and finding ways to help more people, you know, like they have this say, what they say, like, if you want to be more successful, you have to help a lot more people. And you can only scale if you automate, right, some of this business. And if you want to have the revenues associated with it, then you need to look at your conversions. Right, because it's not enough to bring more people to the funnel. You need to actually know that when something comes in, you need to know what comes out so that you can make sure you can bring more in. Then you know exactly, you can predict your revenues, basically. And I think like...
Well, that is such an important conversation, predictable revenue.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm not a fan. That's why I'm not a fan of launching things, right? Because you have this time frame of 10 days or something where you have to push all it into it. And if you don't meet your goals, it's not going well. You paid your copywriter, you paid your automation person, you paid your
ads,
you paid all these people, you paid your virtual, you lost your sanity, you lost this time, and then now you have to deliver the product, which you probably don't feel so passionate about delivering if you didn't meet your launch goals. So I feel like that's not a great strategy to build a real business. I think predictable revenue is so important, because that was part of their, I just had a call about this today. It's so great that you're bringing this up. I think it's a conversation that more people need to have. A lot of people aren't looking at predictable revenue. A lot of people aren't looking at monthly recurring revenue. A lot of people aren't paying attention to the important numbers in their business. They're flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah.
That's not a good strategy. That is not a good strategy. We know all of our numbers. I have a weekly call with my bookkeeper. I have a weekly call with my head of finance. We go over everything. Where are we at here? Where are we falling short? Where is there room to grow? What are we doing well? Every single week. Because that's how you scale a business from a million to five. Like, it's really that simple. But even from 100,000 to a million, you got to pay attention to this stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I love this. And I think that, I think that.
So super passionate about this conversation.
Yeah, I know. But I think that also people know about this. I mean, they hear like you have to track, but there is this fear of what do I track and how do I get started? You know, you need like this first number so that you can see where you start so that you can improve. And that's very often where people fall short, because they don't really have that clear strategy, right? Sometimes they overcomplicate things. And when you complicate things and there are too many variables, then sure, it's getting harder to track, right? So it's, I think, getting clearer. And that's why, you know, I like that we talk about funnels. It's like being very clear of what's the objective here. What is the objective and what do we need to track so that we can then look at these numbers and work on every piece and see if we can improve the lead generation, if we could improve the nurturing, improve the conversion, improve the follow-up for people that visited the sales page but didn't purchase, and things like that. And in order to be able to do that, you have to have that foundation in place. And I think that's where people need the most help almost, is how do you put that in place? So I love that this is a service that you're offering, because I think this is also what's going to give people back their sanity. And they're going to, right. I mean, the number of people that I have talked to, I think it's scary.
Let's take money out of the equation for a minute, right? Let's perform a live experiment here. Let's take money off the table. Let's say they build out these funnels. Let's say they get clear with their numbers. Let's say they know what they need to get their cost per lead at. Let's say they know what their conversion numbers need to be in order to be profitable. Let's say minimum 2-to-1 profitability, okay? Like, we're not going out of this world. Let's say their income stays consistent. We're going to say two earners, woman A and woman B, is part of our experience, right? Or entrepreneur A and entrepreneur B. Entrepreneur A is just serving people 1-to-1. They do not have systems in place. They're only doing 1-to-1 work. They let's say they're totally happy with that, right? So entrepreneur A is making $100,000 a year, okay? Pretty good, right? Awesome, great. Entrepreneur number B is also making $100,000 a year, but entrepreneur B has systems in place, has automation, knows their numbers, is looking at the rates of conversion, has a baseline established, okay? They know what it takes to be profitable as far as cost per lead. At least, if nothing else, entrepreneur B is going to have time back. Entrepreneur B is going to have memories, is going to be able to create experiences with their family, with their clients, with their people, is going to be able to love up their people even more because they have the ability to be present. Entrepreneur B is going to have so much more than entrepreneur A, and we're not talking about money.
Money, absolutely.
So if we remove the money out of the equation, you know, one of the most powerful things, somebody came to us and said, I earned my investment back in full within 6 months. Some people earn it back within weeks. Some people take months. Some people take years, right? This person, she took 6 months. She said, but what is most important and life-changing about this is that I feel so much more free in my business. That was the most powerful testimonial that I could have ever made. It's not just about earning her money back. It's the fact that her life today looks a hell of a lot better than it did before she was applying these strategies and systems. That is what I live for. I mean, best case scenario, you actually also get to increase your revenue, right? But I'm just comparing apples to apples. Let's say money is not even part of the equation. The sanity, the time, the fact that you get to create experiences, be present, go to your kids' soccer games, do travel the world, do whatever it is that you want to do that you're really passionate about outside of being in your business, right? Because I'm passionate about my business too, obviously, like uber passionate, but I also want to do other things, of course. And so a funnel and automated marketing strategies and knowing your numbers is going to free up your time to do that.
Yeah, I love it because I also think that, you know, when we say that, I think this is something you said, I don't have it written, but you said something like building a successful membership doesn't have to be a struggle. I mean, it's the world struggle that you be like, it doesn't have to be a struggle. And I think that when you, like you said, if nothing else, if the person B doesn't make more money, at least she has time back and she can choose what she wants to do with it. She can invest it in her business back and then make more money, or she can make the same amount as A, but guess what? Now she has time to do what she wants. Self-care, you know, family, friend, you know, travel, you know, whatever she wants. And that's where she's not going to feel so overwhelmed and stressed because she got that freedom of time of running a business on her terms. Like you feel you are in control of your time, basically.
That's the biggest win, is the fact that you get to take time back, because time is the only non-replenishable resource, right?
It's your time.
We can't repeat this moment tomorrow. Today, once today is gone and we move on tomorrow, we can't go back to today. So the thing is, you can always make more money, right? You can always make more money. That's not the issue, but you can't go get your time back. And so I feel that's the most important piece to the puzzle, is setting things up in your business that are going to give you back time. So Everything we do that we do repeatedly, we automate it. Because it's a lot better than relying on a human to do it. It gives us all back time. It helps my team keep their sanity, not just me, you know?
Absolutely, I love this. And I think that it's also a vicious circle in a good way, which is if you feel good about it, then you will want to do more, right? It's not when you feel overwhelmed and stressed that you feel you can even take your business to the next level, right? So the more you automate, the more you can focus on the important things, drop what doesn't work so well, focus on what works better, and you know, make those choices because you have time to actually invest and decide if you want to go to the next level. So it's like a vicious circle. You have to have that peace in order to be able to go to the next step as well.
And also it's really important in being the CEO of your business. So if your desire is to build a business outside of just yourself, if your desire is to create a bigger impact, if your desire is to serve thousands of clients all over the world, if your desire is to, build a multiple seven-figure business or whatever your desire is, you have to truly step into the role of being the CEO of your business. And so you have to have the time to be able to be the CEO of your business. So people are always interested to know, what do I do in my business on a daily basis? And to be honest with you, I don't do that much. And that sounds so, they're like, what? What do you mean you don't do that much? I serve my clients, right? I'm the visionary. I come up with new ideas of things that we want to launch and deploy. I don't do those things. I just hand it over to my team and my team starts putting the pieces in place. Anything over what I need to do, I don't do, right? So if I have to make a live stream, I make a live stream, obviously. If I have a speaking engagement, I'm the one that's speaking on the stage. But the other thing is I serve my clients and I basically optimize my funnels. I don't build my own funnels. I strategize my funnels. I'm very actively involved in the strategy and the direction of all the moving pieces in our business, but someone else is actually putting them together. And then I'll come back and make sure that it looks the way that I want it to, right? And so that gives me the ability to have a lot of free time to do a lot of other things. Things that are on the table is we're having a live event in Fort Lauderdale in a couple of weeks. Like, I get to do bigger picture things because I'm not tied into the minutia in my business every day. And so that is so crucial in growth of your organization, right? So important. Like, I can't speak to that point enough. If you are tied down to your laptop or your cell phone or your clients or whatever else it is all day long, all day long, all day long, you're actually limiting your ability to grow your business. So, you know, I used to think, even when I didn't have the money in my previous business, I used to come up with the excuse, well, how could I pay for support if I'm not really paying myself? Well, that thought process actually led me to be over $100,000 in debt, because it wasn't until I had a support system in place, and it might be as small as having a developer on your team a couple of hours a month. Do what you can, because if you put your energy into that now, it's like basically watering your garden, right? It starts flourishing. So I have an amazing team behind me today, and I don't feel that I could have ever done what I've been able to accomplish in this amount of time without them, you know?
Yeah, I love that you're talking about your team, because I wanted to transition to this. And this idea that, you know, besides our network and a community of people that, you know, understand where you are and that can uplift you and, you know, cheer you on and then listen to you, there is also delegating. That is a huge part. Like you said, you only do the things that are where your genius and your expertise, it can only be you. Everything else, you don't hesitate to delegate. And I think that's a shift that needs to happen as well. Even if it's the small thing, just an assistant or a developer to get started, because this is what's going to free up your time for the big things that are going to make a bigger difference.
And I'm so funny in the role of delegation, because I want to empower my team to make decisions, even if it's big decisions. I'm like, I believe you're going to make the best decision here. Like, you don't even have to ask me. We've built this level of trust. You're on this team because I believe that you can make these decisions. And I want to ask you, what would you do? Don't ask me what would I do. I want to know what you would do. And then if there's a mistake that's made, we can course correct. But I would rather just empower my team to be individually leaders within our business, because that's actually taking off my plate as well, right? So you have to give up the control. You have to relinquish the control to your team. That's a big part of the equation, right?
Yeah, I love this. It's like you really have to be a leader and empower your people. Surround yourself with people that you trust, that understand your vision. So I'm sure you have like a pretty clear vision and, you know, things that you stand by and things like that, that they all have to align with. And you've built that, strong relationship with them. And I think that's something that's an ongoing work, right? It never, you know, it's an extra work, but I think this is also what helps you be, like you said, a visionary and not be in doing, which I know somebody who could really benefit from that. So, I really love this this discussion, because I think that this is ultimately, you know, automating your business is really the way that you're going to be able to scale. So I wanted to talk just briefly about, you mentioned, I think it's one of your blog posts where you said the traditional way of doing coaching is dead. Okay. And I want, you know, if you can talk a bit about that, because I know you are not like the typical coach and you can, you know, call people on their BS and stuff like that. So I would like to get your take on that. I don't know if it's about the launching, you know, strategy or stuff like that, but I would love to hear.
Yeah, well, my feeling is that our industry is shifting a lot in general. People are calling people out on their best. They're, you know, in some ways it's good, in some ways it's bad. There are zero regulations in our industry, which poses a bit of a problem, because I can just decide tomorrow that I am a coach and that I'm qualified, and that I can go teach and facilitate something to somebody else that then may not be the best move for their business. And so I didn't write the article. I would lie to you if I wrote the article, but I strategized the article with my copywriter, And she wrote the article about the fact that traditional coaching is dead, because what worked 2 years ago and what even worked a year ago or 6 months ago is not what's working now. People want the real freaking deal. They have been burned by a lot of people in our industry. And so what's important is that you're staying in your lane and focusing on what you're good at, that the people that are your people, you are loving them up and providing them consistently with insane amounts of value so that they can get the end result. My client's success is very important to me. Does that mean that I have to take responsibility for what they're able to accomplish? No, not by any means, because I can't as a leader in the industry. You cannot take responsibility for someone else's success, but we provide them with a comprehensive structure to get the best results, given they show up and apply the work, right? And so what I mean is that there's a lot of questions that are being posed in our industry. And I think the importance of this is that basically people are questioning others' integrity. People are starting to become vocal about their experiences, and it's going to create a divide in our industry. And I actually really hope what comes out of it is that some type of standard is set, because it goes in both directions. People are doing some things that I don't stand behind, even though I'm a marketer and I don't want to be guilty by association because I am not in alignment with the things that are happening in our industry. But on the other side of that, it's important for us to create the divide, because there are a lot of people that genuinely know their craft, know their skill set, and have the opportunity to continue to serve people because they really freaking care about their clients, right? They really care about the experience they create for them. So the thing is, I guess the biggest message is stop thinking about yourself, really. Stop thinking about your bank account, right? I mean, I obviously care about myself and my family, and I don't mean that in a way that you should put people in front of you, right? But you have to take care of yourself, right? But I also want people to want to serve and show up in our industry more than the almighty dollar bill. I want people to serve because they feel fired up about something, because they learned lessons the hard way, and they feel that they have something really powerful to contribute to our industry. And I think as leaders, that's the way we're supposed to be showing up. And as a peer-to-peer leader in the industry, it is our responsibility to break the freaking cycle, to break the noise, to show up differently, to show up to create real powerful experiences for our clients, to stay in our lane, right? The thing that drives me the most crazy is somebody that's like doing health coaching today and mindset work tomorrow, and now they're a sales strategist. And it's like, you are genuinely good at what you're good at. Just stay doing that. And it's not to say that you can't evolve, but just because so-and-so is having success over here doesn't mean that you should become that person. You should be you more and more and more every single day. And the thing is, why did I choose sales funnels to work with? For a variety of reasons. I had an experience where I had hired someone to build me a sales funnel that I had spent $15,000 on, and I didn't know enough about sales funnels at the time. So when I got the funnel back and we started running traffic to the funnel, it wasn't converting. And what's worse than that is the fact that I didn't know what was wrong with it. And so at that point in time, I made it my mission to fully understand the psychology, the mechanics, the strategies, the everything behind funnels, so that I could first off eliminate my own problem. And once I really started understanding it, and I started getting some great success using the funnels that I then recreated, I started teaching it, because I realized that there was an opportunity in the market, because women were so far away from that automated piece of their businesses. And I realized for me that became my freedom card. So that's very much in alignment, right? Stay in your lane, man. Just stay in your lane. Love your people up. Stop being so focused on just creating revenue for your pocket. Create experiences for people. Help people create real results. And if you show up with that integrity to serve people, you're freaking business will blow up. I guarantee you that. So that's I'm fired up about it. If you can't, if you didn't notice.
I can tell. So if somebody needs to hire a coach, you know, for that type of work, you know, there are so many people that, you know, claim themselves to be coaches out there. Some are really good. Some, you know, are teaching things that they haven't gone through. So, you know,
that's a problem.
Yeah. How do people choose? Because, I mean, you see those questions and I see those questions in groups all the time. I need somebody to help me, but who can I trust? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, totally. So do your research, right? Like, don't make decisions out of desperation. And I think there's also a piece to the conversation that relates to client's personal responsibility. So you are responsible as a client in the relationship as well. If you get into a relationship with someone because you didn't ask the right questions, because you had unrealistic expectations, well, then I feel like in that instance, you might have a lesson to learn from that. I don't want anybody to get burned, but how you can go forth and try to eliminate that happening is ask a lot of questions, right? Do your research, talk to other people that may have worked with this individual, get their experience. I don't think you can craft your own experience from someone else's, but it's good to have feedback. So maybe ask the coach, hey, do you have any of your clients that have had a similar experience or a similar business model that I might be able to talk to? That's okay. People ask me that all the time. I'm like, sure, talk to Brittany, talk to Erica, talk to Aaron, like talk to, you know, whoever that I feel could potentially help them. And for me, there's no attachment to the outcome. So just as much of an interview of the client is to a good fit with us, it's the same on our end as it is for us to be a good fit with the client, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important for the coach or the service provider to not take on clients that they don't feel they can really serve, okay?
Yeah.
So that's another piece of the equation. And the last piece is be really clear about your contractual obligations. So everybody that comes into our business, we put them into contracts because we're real business people and we want the expectations to be very clearly defined. It's not just to protect me, it's also to protect the client. So that when we go into a relationship, it's not like, well, Natalie, you told me this. Well, no, it's all outlined in the contract. And if we, you know, no one in my business has ever, ever come back to us and said that we didn't deliver on our contractual obligations. Ever. Not once. Because it's very clearly defined about what we do and what we don't do. And so as long as both parties in the equation can set that level of expectation, then hopefully you can go into the relationship and it's awesome, right? Because what I don't want to happen is people in the industry, because they've been burned. I've been burned too. FYI, I have too. That doesn't mean that I never hired another mentor, right?
Absolutely.
Like mentors and investments and consultants have been so fundamental in my growth, along with my own in-house team, right? My outside investments, investing to attend someone's mastermind, investing to sit down with the consultant for 2 full days and map out the rest of my year, investments in mentors and sales coaches, wherever I felt that I needed some support. That has been so key in my growth as well. So, you know, yes, there is bad experiences, but don't let that like prohibit you from investing again. Like just ask more questions, do more research, make sure that the person that you want to hire is in alignment with you and your values and all that stuff. And so that's basically all I have to say. I don't know any other way personally that you could, you know, choose somebody to work with other than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I think that's really smart. I mean, there are so many people that got burned, but like you said, this is also part of their responsibility to do their own work and check them out and talk to people that they've worked with and be clear on expectations. I mean, if you are clear on expectations on both sides, there shouldn't be any surprises, right?
And that should eliminate a lot of problems right off the bat.
Exactly, I love that. So can you share a bit more about the Success Society and what it is exactly, and then maybe how can people find out more about you and start learning from you.
Sure. So Success Society, it is our legal business name, even though our brand is really Stephanie Nicklage, my name. We do have a private Facebook group, over 21,000 female entrepreneurs. It is called Success Society on Facebook, so you can certainly find the group and come hang out with us there. The best way to find me or my team is probably on Facebook. We have a public figure page, Stephanie Nicklage. I do a lot of live streams there. Pop in a lot of articles and stuff that's happening in our business. So stay tuned there if you want to know more about our business. But yeah, socially stalk me. If you have questions about funnels or about this interview, let me know.
Okay, awesome. I will definitely be sharing the link below the video so that people can check you out and start following you and learn tons from you about funnels and automation and growing our business. If people want to find out about your services, your coaching services, is that on that Stephanie Nicklage as well?
Yeah, you can just go okay. Right to my website. Work okay. With me tab. It is by application only. Sure. So
yep.
Like you said, it's an interview for our clients as well. So it's just go on my website, click on work with me, and you can be on your way to seeing how we could make some magic together.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm so glad that we had this conversation because I love to talk about marketing automation as well. I think that is the way to grow a business. There is only so much you can do with one-on-one. And I see so many people with great talent that are struggling to get, you know, to the other side, you know, like doing a bit less of the one-on-one. And I keep telling them, you don't have to give up one-on-one. You can choose to do. Yeah, that can be like a VIP service where you focus on less people, but you can provide so much more, right? So that you can be fulfilled, you know, in that area. It's not like you have to automate everything, but
right, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree.
It's still got to align with how you feel about this. And sometimes automating a big part of it can allow you to actually do the actual deep work you want to do one-on-one, but where you can only take one or two people a month, maybe, right? So
it's because your income isn't 100%
relying on that. Exactly.
You're creating options in your business. You're leveraging yourself so that you can still do that one-to-one work if that's what you're really passionate about. But it also allows you to be really present for that work because you have other things happening in your business that aren't, your income is not 100% reliant on your ability to be present working. And so I think that's where the freedom comes in, you know, and you get to choose what that looks like. So some of my clients don't want to do one-on-one work at all. They might want to do a retreat format or mastermind or other ways or VIP days or other ways to support people. And it definitely needs to feel good to you because if it doesn't feel good to you, you're not going to actually want to fulfill it or sell it. And that's going to be a bigger problem.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's not going to be successful for sure. And you're not going to be able to be consistent with it, right? Because if it doesn't fuel you, then at some point, you know, first bump.
Yeah, you won't do it. You won't do it.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. I've really enjoyed our conversation and I'm so glad you accepted my invitation. And I will post the link below the video and I look forward to hear more from you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.